So as I was on the Twitter.com recently, somebody posted a picture from an old game booklet. Do you remember when the game cartridges or the game cases had game booklets in them?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what game it was from, but what it said in it was very interesting. It said, make sure to utilize looking at your at the other player's screens in order to when you're fighting them or whatever game it was. And I was like, that's screen looking. Isn't that cheating?
That was a big deal in the 90s and in the 2000s.
I was like, we got really mad at each other if you screen looked.
007 Nightfire.
Screen peeker, stop looking at my screen. I once had friends get mad at me because I was doing really well in the Hot Wheels racing game, which was fucking fire, by the way. It was a racing game, and they thought that I was winning because I was screen looking, and I'm like, what does it matter? It's a racing game. There's no advantage to knowing where you are.
In the instruction booklet, it's like, make sure you utilize looking at the other player's screen. Also, throw sand in their eyes.
Feel free to disconnect their controller.
Insult their entire family. Just really lay it on.
See, that's why Smash is just so highly tuned for competition, is because everyone has the same screen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know? There's no screen looking. There's one screen.
You want to know one of the things that made Melee such a good game? They actually rushed its development. So they had no idea that the physics engine was going to be that good for pro play. They're just like, just send it out.
Well, really? So that was a slide cancel era, wasn't it? Was that era?
Melee? Yeah, slide canceling.
Yeah, I was gonna say the slide canceling thing. Yeah, because it was the thing that like you would do something where you would guard and slide, and so or you would guard and like jump or move or whatever it was. I forget the combination now, but like it was a thing where you had this way of moving that was like really difficult to like to deal with, and so everybody was doing it, and so like the pro tournaments were just like slide cancel attacks. Hilarious.
Yeah, they made the physics engine almost as simple as possible, and then they gave all these characters movements, and it was just something they sped through, and now it's like, oh, it's really easy to get into it, but it's really hard to master movement in Melee.
Yeah,
and that's why usually in Melee it's like how many like what the top three characters being used is. Barth and Fox,
I think. Ice Climbers, Fox, Jigglypuff, and what was the other one?
Marth's aerial attacks in Melee were broken.
Yes.
His aerial A attacks were crazy.
His grab range was weird, too. Like, it was a hot like distance, so you could always get tripped up by it.
Yeah.
For like 15 years, Fox dominated like everything, but then a certain player figure out how to use Jigglypuff.
Mm-hmm. And people got so pissed off about it, too. They were like, hey, you just do that because it slows the gameplay. And it's like, well, he beat other people with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm beating you. That's all you're mad at. Yeah, sorry. So it does bring up the question, though, with this whole cheating video games thing. Did you guys do a lot of that stuff, either screen looking, which is just funny, and you know, I guess if you're encouraged, why not? Or did you guys use cheat codes? Because I used the heck out of those things on my PlayStation 2.
Cheat codes. Actually, I'm trying to find it right now, but there was a specific book that actually my nephew had because he was playing PS2 and all that stuff. But it was the Cheat Code Overload book, and it has like flames and shit on there, and it's like over like 15,000 cheat codes, and you can like look up every single freaking game.
Do you guys just remember buying game guides for games?
Books
that were like the walkthroughs and like show you all the secrets and everything. So you didn't.
Depending on the book, it was like a novel.
I may have told this story before, but I had a friend who, when Ocarina of Time came out for the 3DS, he bought it. He was like, I went to GameStop to get a game guide for it, and the guy laughed at me. I'm like, he should have laughed at you.
Oh, you have GameFAQs.
Ocarina of Time is literally the most straightforward game ever made.
Yeah.
he actually texted me. He's like, where's Death Mountain? I'm like, where's the only mountain with fire around?
I'm sorry? Did he look up? Where's Death Mountain? Was his camera pointing at the ground as he walked?
I don't know. I think he just figured out how to turn it on.
Apparently. I mean, I've seen some bad people play video games before when they're just like, I don't know what to do. And you're just like, just fucking move. Like, just do something.
Look around.
I have the game guides for Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, and 10. They were all very big.
I was going to say, they must have been huge. I know those games.
My favorite cheat was Final Fantasy 7. So there was a... If your HP landed on 7777, you would get like lucky sevens, and like your character would become like outrageously stupid powerful until your HP was not 7777 anymore.
Okay,
so there was a cheat. I guess it was a cheat, but in that game, the materia system would alter your stats based on what materia you had equipped. And when you were level, I think you had to be level 99, there was a specific materia combo. If you had all these mastered materia, that would make your max HP 7777.
Nice. That's awesome.
And it was like the cheat on how you beat the Ruby and Emerald weapon without actually having to be any good at the game. It was just do that materia combo and then enter it and just keep yourself healed up and you'd murder them.
Wow.
I was going to ask you if you ever beat Emerald and Ruby weapon.
I did beat both of them.
Wow.
I beat both of them with skill. They were long fights. Way too many hours losing to them before I beat them.
One of the like games that got me into games really was Twisted Metal 4. Twisted Metal franchise in general is, if you don't know, because apparently they're not making them anymore, but it is a car fighting game.
I was big on Twisted Metal 2 and 3. I didn't play,
yeah, 2 and 3,
I might have
yeah.
played 4 a couple of times, but I was big
on 2. I mean, each one is really good because of the fact that it's like new cars, new characters, better graphics, you know what I mean?
It was one of the games I owned with PS1. Twisted Metal 2.
Exactly. So, but I remember there was one cheat code that it was, I had to look it up because I had to make sure, but it was triangle L1 down, triangle up. And what it did was it gave you unlimited specials.
I remember doing lots of cheats in Twisted Metal too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was a game that was, just, it's a fun game.
There was a cheat so that you could drive, you could pilot the end boss's car. Like in multiplayer. Oh my god. Like it wasn't one you could normally select, but there was a cheat that
you couldn't just get Sweet Tooth?
No, it wasn't Sweet Tooth. It was like a giant tank. It was this monstrous tank character. I can't remember what it was. In Twisted Metal 2, cuz Sweet Tooth was just a regular character in Twisted Metal 2.
Oh yeah, yeah, he was like the guy in, yeah,
it's like
in
how
the other
murderous
words.
Clown was one of the good guys, Jake.
Yeah, no, every person in that game is a psychopath.
Yeah, every he was basically one. The mascot of the series in general. Because, I mean, you look at it, you're like a clown with a flaming head and you know, the hockey mask or something, or the giant smile, depending on what game it is.
Yeah, depending on what game. I mean, that Rob Zombie, because Rob Zombie was in... Was he in the other ones, or was he just in 4?
I'm trying to remember, because I remember most of the time, I think it was in 4, wasn't the devil like the final boss or something?
I don't remember anymore. That was 20 years ago, but... Mark's looking it up.
Well, you know what to stream now.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, if we all get Twisted Metal?
Yeah, what? Oh, and are we going to, like, have a LAN party for this? Or
I'm sure there's a Steam port. Come on, someone's done it.
There might be a Steam port. GOG might have it, too, because they port that kind of stuff.
Oh, Calypso, I think, was the... Yeah, Calypso.
Oh,
was,
Calypso, yeah. Yeah, yeah, he was the guy that just had the nuke.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
he had a vehicle that just transported nukes.
Nuke.
You could shoot them off and then detonate them, like, later, so you just, like, cocoon, cocoon, cocoon.
Can my character just be the guy from that old black-and-white movie called Slim Pickens, and he's riding a nuke down? Waving a cowboy hat.
Cowboy. Yeah.
See,
I was trying to remember good cheats, and I was thinking of GoldenEye. Had some really fun ones that wasn't just the ones you could select, to, like, because there was the one that you're like, big head mode, whatever.
Yeah, of course.
But
yeah.
In the campaign mode and stuff, you actually could put cheats in there, but it was a very select button press combination that you had to do. And that way, if you did them that way, like, the mission would count properly. Like,
oh, interesting.
It wouldn't say, like, oh, you cheated. It doesn't count. It's like, nope. So, like, you could start a game with, like, the golden PP7s and stuff like that, just right off the bat.
Literally the one-hit kill gun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Twisted Metal 2, it was Darktooth.
Darktooth.
Darktooth was the final boss who had to be unlocked. You could only get him unlocked by using Game Shark.
Oh, God, Game Shark.
Game Shark.
Because you could, I think you could unlock Minion and Sweet Tooth with a code, with some code. But Darktooth was, like, not the boss you were supposed to play as.
Well, because he was Darktooth, like, looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, Darktooth was super cool, and he was gigantic. So he was, yeah. like piloting him was, like, really weird.
Just from a creative writing standpoint, Darktooth is a really fucking lazy name for a bad guy. Like,
oh, he was, guys. He was the opposite of Sweet Tooth, I guess.
That writing session took a whole 5 fucking minutes.
Remember, this was early 2000s metal scene, new metal scene. So
the guys, good guy, Sweet Tooth, Dave Darktooth, give a take. All right.
It's also the era of, like, game mechanics trumped game story.
Yeah,
they were exceptions. 100% they were exceptions, say by and large.
Yeah, but because they were trying so much stuff. They were trying so many new things because of the fact that they were like, oh, this works, let's keep doing this. And then another thing would come out, and then they would keep doing that.
Sad part is we all know that creative writing in video games peaked with Minecraft.
Just all those blocks.
Fortnite's a top second, but only just.
I've still never played Fortnite.
Me neither.
Maybe tonight you'll get into this fort.
During this night.
If we were together, I'd punch you very hard.
Listen, I tried to find a better segue earlier, and you guys kept moving on.
That was a perfect segue.
See, Mark, I appreciate you.
I would just need to deconstruct this tower. It's like in Fortnite. Right.
Right, yeah.
Because that was the whole mechanic. You could destroy buildings. So let's just destroy this building and be done with it.
Hey, we're using a cheat code by flying to the top floor where the boss is to enter a window we're not supposed to go in.
Yes.
So we're doing exactly what we're talking about.
That is true.
Urshaw is just going to slam himself into the wall until he just glitches to the top.
I mean, that's what Kezro is about to do. He's going to blink in through the wall.
That's true. Yes, he's
Benson's sitting at the base just smoking a cigarette, just like, what the hell?
Benson's also yelling the whole time. He's like screaming up to us.
Grimshaw's getting donkeys, remember?
Oh, yeah.
What's so funny is that Kezra and Elkwood are up there. Benson could theoretically teleport up there. It's just Grimshaw on the floor. We could go top-bottom, y'all. And I'll meet y'all in the middle, I guess? I don't know. Uh-huh. Well, wait, why doesn't Kezra just scoop me up? Go down, scoop me. Kezra could just bring us all up. Let's bring us all up. We'll go top to bottom.
Let's just see what happens first.
Yes, please.
All right.
So, at the end of last episode, Elkwood, you were getting some help in surveying this tower from the bottom up. And you got to a window in which you saw that somebody... So, on the sixth floor... you saw just an empty room. You saw a door, but you couldn't see into the other room. On the seventh floor, you saw from the window you were at, you saw two statues. On the eighth floor, you saw what was clearly a woman that was tied up, and you could hear her lightly weeping from within. As you made your way to the next window on this floor, you just saw a hallway, but you heard somebody antagonizing someone else and saying something like, "Come on, try to hit me. I'll set you free if you do."
Yeah, they're teasing that level 1 person, and their AC is probably like 30. It's impossible.
They just need
level
1
might be generous. Level 1 might be generous.
Oh, God. -1.
They're running a captive fight marine.
Even if he rolls a natural 20, he won't hit. Oh,
that's
God.
True. Because
so,
he's not trained.
What I'll say here is that the window that you can tell this is coming from just because of like the structure of this is that you're not sure if it would be a good idea, because if you go to that window, they might see you.
Even if it's nighttime and stealth and all that shit?
Yeah, it would be pretty hard to hide on a windowsill in front of a window when there's, like, light pouring out of it.
Oh, okay.
Pretend to be a gargoyle.
Yes. Just ignore me.
ignore me, just your friendly neighborhood gargoyle.
Ignore me. Let's see. So, from here, okay, so the one thing I was trying to think of last time was, with these windows, is there, like, a seam along the edges of them?
I'm just thinking, yeah. I mean, you know, it's all masonry and stuff like that, so.
God, I'm thinking of it. I'm like, could I just carve away? Just slowly take the window up, and it'll just be...
Take a little chisel and pick and just...
I do only have a minute of flight right now. I mean, technically three if I spend all my focus spells, but...
Yeah,
then I would need 30 minutes.
I feel like this is...
It has been 3 minutes and 1 second, and you both fly to your deaths.
No, I'm on the side. I'm on the side of the building. I'm clicking on.
Yeah.
Okay. So in general, right now, got the room full of people that are tied up. Hallway. Here are the other people. I mean, I don't want to try to start a combat right now because I know if I tried breaking through a window, they'll attract guards. The one thing that we have right now is. Surprise, because they have no idea that we know that this is, they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And, shit. Could Kezra turn me invisible?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, Kezra, can you turn me invisible? I want to look through this window.
There it is.
Alright, he'll cast invisibility.
Okay.
Sick.
Haha.
Alright.
Jake. Alright.
And I guess... Yeah, we'll go to the edge of the window, and I'll just, like, and just Elk will peer in.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
All right. So, so go ahead and move your token over, and then I will tell you what you see.
Yeah.
I don't see anything, Bob.
You don't see anything? If you go there, you can see. Okay. So, you see four beds in here. Let me go to... right. You see what appears to be, five, they look to be just, like manual workers. They're just wearing, like, pretty regular clothes. But what you see is that there's one of them that's standing up, and you see two, Scarlet Triad thugs.
Okay. I still don't see anything.
Let me see. Can I just move you in? Hold on.
Oh God! I glitched in. It's fine.
Are they on the GM layer still?
Well, there's no GM layer. We're in Foundry VTT.
I don't know how this shit works.
There we go. You're saying magic stuff. I don't.
Yeah. There you go. Can you see him now, Elkwood?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay. So there are two Scarlet Triad thugs, and you see one of them is in the corner blocking the door, and another one is in the center, and he has a prisoner in front of him, and he's just like, come on, hit me. The door's right there. He'll move if you can land a single punch. And this guy who looks famished and tired, he gets up and he's like kind of wobbling, and he goes to like swing. And the thug quickly steps out of the way and just backhands this guy with a back fist, sending him right to the floor. Come on, you could try harder than that.
Well, that's... is this window stained glass, or is this just regular?
If it's stained glass, there's a broken piece you can see in.
Okay, that's what I was kind of curious. I was like, yeah. Okay, I can make all this out. So two thugs, the ones that we fought before... Sure. Yeah, that'd be bad if I even attempted something in there.
But you see that each of these people that they're tormenting appear to have manacles on their feet.
Mm-hmm. I figured.
Yeah. So right now you know of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So at least 5 Scarlet Triad prisoners that are being held here.
Okay. Yeah, there's unfortunately nothing that Elk could really do besides expose his position and then get destroyed by two of these thugs, because if I remember, they hit pretty damn hard.
Yep.
And they would probably just shove me out of the window.
They'd be like, what? You can't see us having incest? And then they kick out the window.
Oh, no. God. Game of Thrones.
Okay. That was a Game of Thrones reference for everybody at home.
Let's just go down and deal with the front door.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He just kind of looks, relays the information. Is there any more windows that he could possibly peer through?
There are a bunch of windows.
Oh, he's going to take full what he could. Oh, okay. No. I'm in the building.
I guess we might as well keep circling the building, looking through windows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to find something, some info that's going to be useful to us. Like, this is all great, but like, it's not like we didn't know people would be in here.
Yeah, at the same time, I'm just kind of curious now if, like, these are just going to be regular thugs up here, or is there going to be, like, a boss up here as well? Because, I mean, they're just thugs, but... Oh, God,
or,
I'm moving...
Or, like, a creature. Or like
how are you moving the Scarlet Triad thug?
Oh, he's out the window now.
Or, like, a creature that we can see and be prepared for before we get to this floor.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to look around, just to make sure we don't get...
This thugs look good and beefy, but... They're just dudes.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to...
So you go flying around. You get to the top window. Oh. You can see that it's the hallway. So this connects to the hallway that you saw earlier.
Oh, that room is
perpendicular.
That's a weirdly big hallway that leads into a large room.
Yeah, yeah. So it opens up to a big hallway.
Okay.
You open up into the next window. You see what is clearly a well-made room. There appears to be three figures that are talking amongst each other. Their skin appears to be blue. And then there's another person that is sitting at a writing desk, just scribbling away.
It's the Blue Man Group.
It is the Blue Man.
Oh, shit.
Too powerful.
Yeah, okay. They'll beat us with the sounds of pipes. And
they're currently putting together their contraptions to do music.
They're drumming pipes.
we need more PVC. More PVC.
We need PVC and paint. let's see. So, what's the... where's the writing desk? I want to see these.
Remember, I'm also detecting magic this whole time.
Cool.
For anything interesting.
Yes. So, if you detect magic, you sense a great deal of magic in this room.
So, are you still holding on to Elkwood?
Yes.
So, one hand on Elkwood, one hand casting.
Yeah, I don't even think that's a rule anymore.
Oh.
They don't care about that into it.
Yeah, Grimshaw can't see anyway.
I think they removed somatic components from the remaster even. So,
oh my gosh.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's really just like concentration is like the only thing left. But I'm pretty sure you can just, there's no more like issues with like, can you cast spells while holding two things in your hands? Like, I'm pretty sure that's not an issue anymore.
I know that, I don't know if this is in the remaster, but I know that, like, even if you have, if you're a cleric or something like that, and you have, like, your mace and shield, like, you can still cast spells because of the fact that, like, you know, you don't need... Yeah, exactly, so...
Well, I'm looking at, like, Illusory Disguise and Void Warp. They have the trait called Manipulate. Mm-hmm. You must physically manipulate an item or make gestures... use an action with this trait. So it's vague, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So and then if you are a divine champion, so it's like, why wouldn't you be able to do that with your weapons in hand? You
exactly,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's cool.
And the manipulate's really just there to tell you that it provokes too.
Provokes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, so the three blue people, we know about them. Or we heard stories about them.
I don't remember hearing anything about Blue.
I could have sworn we heard stories about.
There was a gold skinned person.
We knew the gold skinned person.
There's a gold skinned man.
So
this is blue skinned people.
Gold skinned
Can we roll
man.
Knowledge on these people?
Yeah.
Real quick.
You can't really make out the figures because of the windows.
Okay.
So break not the window. Enough detail.
I gotta see.
Well, we need to keep moving because my flight's gonna move out. So we're really just swooping through, looking in windows.
Okay. So the person at the desk, where they look different from what they look.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So they
yeah,
look
yeah,
different.
They,
so there's someone unique up there.
There is somebody unique.
But this also counting how many people are up here. So if we try to start combat, it would be like, oh no, they're coming out of the freaking woodwork.
that is a really good use of this entire thing. So, next room is
this is the top floor, right?
This is the top floor. Okay. Yeah. Next room. This is another set of beds. You see some more prisoners tied up on said beds.
That explains why they're so close together. There's an uncomfortable spacing with his beds.
No guards. There are,
no, there does not appear to be any guards here.
Gotcha.
Okay. Hallway, it looks like.
Yep. And then if you go to the next window, more beds.
And prisoners. Okay. All right. Oh, and main hall, main thoroughfare.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing in this hall. Big hall.
Nope. So yeah. So the through this window, you can see through the main room that all those hallways were going into.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's completely undecorated, unfurnished.
Okay. So keeping that in mind, right back here, and this was top floor.
Yep, this is the top floor. Right. So
I guess we can lower ourselves back down. Because, like, okay, so the top floor with the stained glass goes all the way around. The previous floors that we were just in, was it the same way? Was there stained glass that went all the way around?
It seems like there's more windows on this top floor.
Okay. So I'm just trying to be, like, floor right below us, the one that had the two statues.
Yeah, when you go down to the seventh floor, there are less windows, and the sixth floor has even less, actually. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, I don't think we need to look in every single window. Let's just head back down.
Okay.
So you float your way back down. Grimshaw, you were back with Donkeys, I assume?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what did you get?
I got Benson an Americano. I got Kezra a flat white. I got Elkwood a chai.
What?
And then good old Grimshaw just has like a coffee with some cream and sugar. He's like, I really don't know you guys, so I just kinda guessed. You never told me your order.
What? My order is half a cup of lemon juice and half a cup of yogurt in a cup and you just shake it up.
I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm gonna be gassy.
what was that, Benson? A virgin cement mixer right there?
Yeah. Oh, all right. So you relay all the information that you had.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it seems.
Sorry, Elkwood.
Shush. You are not back.
No, it quite seems that there's plenty of prisoners up there, guards that were bullying them, and three blue skin figures and someone at a desk. I couldn't make it out, so unfortunately the stained glass was kind of hard to peer through.
May I make a society check on blue skin gentlemen?
Blue skin gentlemen? Sure.
It's probably gotta be like, hey, you have to roll a 40.
It will certainly be hard.
Yeah, just those blue-skinned gentlemen, yes, I know them well. Where the fuck's my character sheet? Hold on.
Oh, if you go up to the top where it says the party, if you open that.
Okay.
There you go.
Society.
What if I could change that to, say, the squad?
I just rolled a natural 20.
Hey, wow. I was like, Jake's like, this is a really hard DC. And I'm like, but Jake let him roll, so that means he's gonna get that 20.
This is good, but I kind of would have rather rolled that in combat.
I could feel that 20 in my loins, and I know it's not gonna matter.
So here's what I'll say is that with Elkwood's description, you realized that through his description that there were some interesting things, in that his description included that they had blue skin, and they were sort of just talking amongst themselves. They were just sort of milling about, so you didn't get too many details. But one thing that you saw was that they seemed to be carrying long, like, chains or something like that, and they weren't wearing clothes.
Oh.
Because you didn't see clothes. You saw them, like, covered in that. And the only thing that I'll give you for a natural 20 is the fact that they appear to be outsiders of some kind.
I know what they are. I know what they are.
Outsiders.
I know what they are. Shit.
Well, then Kezra, speak up.
What do you know, Kezra?
I don't know what they are.
I'm thinking, I might know now.
If what these are chained are. Devils, I'm thinking about it. They're chained devils, we might be fucked.
I don't know about outsiders, only insider threats.
Goodness.
speaking of inside, how are we getting in this building? Should we just knock? Yes. There's some windows on the second floor that are unlit. Perhaps we could break in. Open the door from the inside.
It sounds like the lower levels are probably occupied by the cults, so I don't really know, because if we start attacking the lower levels, they might run up and threaten the hostages.
Yes, not to mention, Kezra, that we noticed that there were two statues up there as well that seemed to be probably golems. I don't know. Right. All we know is that there's a lot of magic up there. Like, an extreme amount of magic.
And if I could judge how this is going, I think it's almost impossibility that they're not golems.
Scarlet Triad seems to like golems, huh? Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of rules of thought here. We could try to enter in one of the middle floors. I could fly us up there. We could enter in the top floor. But we could be trapped as everybody from the lower levels come up.
We couldn't guarantee that we can punch our way through.
No, but at least if we went into the bottom, we'd have a clear exit.
Yes.
Elkwood and I always have an exit when we're in a tower. It's called the window.
Pretty much. I may take damage, but I will take less damage than everyone else.
I was going to say, there are two people that would survive that.
Actually, what's Grimshaw's acrobatics?
Acrobatics isn't the best. I'm trained, so I'll still be taking a lot of damage, but it's less than...
He's going to fall, get the wind knocked out of him.
Not to mention that like 4 or 5 dex penalty from your armor.
A dex penalty doesn't matter if you got cat fall.
Yeah, cat fall, and I think for the first state it's 10 feet, so at least you'll take 10 feet off of that.
Mm-hmm. Take 10 damage off.
Benson will probably hit the... Benson will probably hit the cobbled stone, but he won't stop at it.
It just keeps going.
So what'll it be? What is everybody... What's everybody's instincts here?
Go from the bottom. I just say... okay, think about it. Top, like Benson said, we might not be able to punch our way through. If we go in the middle, and then we have to make a quick egress, and we go down, and there are traps, suddenly we're getting hammered by any hazards, or even just the building crumbling. I'd rather us deal with structural instability, or you know, rusty nails on the way up, so that we know on the way down, in case we have to make a quick exit.
Yeah, like you say, if we go in the middle, we have two different ways we can be attacked from. I think we either go to the top, or we start at the bottom.
I agree.
Yes. Yes, I believe that would work. If anything else, we could have someone go start. I mean, the second floor, you said, like, all the other floors are dark, right?
So you can't even see. Yes, floors 1 through 5 were completely dark.
Oh, I bet one thing, I mean, this is just a thought, that maybe the first part, like, first room, there would be, like, storage or something. Like, that's where you just put, like, you know, the room of crates. Like, there's just a bunch of crates in there. There's nothing else. And then the further you go up, there'll be, like, floor 5 would be someone there, maybe. So, you never know. But, yeah, I would say it'd be better if we just start from the bottom and go our way up. But let me check for traps first.
Or we could split the party.
Yeah, split the party. Put Benson at the top.
You know, one thing that we didn't think about is if the school is using this tower for storage at the lower levels, there might be some supplies that would be of use to us. Huh? Mundane magical items in a school could be powerful artifacts to those of us who are not as well-versed in magic. Well, you know, not including Kezra. Everything in here would be useless to Kezra.
So we try the door.
Yes, let me check for traps, though, first. I have a feeling they might have something set up.
Please.
So that is a perfect 16 on the die for a 33.
Recognize this door to be very well made, but completely untrapped and also unlocked.
Interesting.
I mean, that's not too surprising because they want to give the appearance that it's just a storage tower or abandoned.
That's what I'm thinking. The first floor is going to be like a decoy thing. We're like, huh, well, it's just boxes.
Nothing here.
It's just crates.
Not being too discreet, considering all the windows are lit up.
Yeah. They were lightly lit up. That was the thing. It was candles.
Yeah.
And you only got that view because of getting up there. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. So let's head in, I suppose.
All right. So you open up the very large double doors. They're ornate and carved into them are all these like arcane things and, you know, the history of Kentarka and stuff like that.
Oh, snap.
Alabaster Academy. It's really, I mean, it's a Tannison Tower. It's a historical thing.
You give me that's hand-carved mahogany.
wait. So we can take these doors and bring them back to Citadel All Terrain?
I guess if you wanted to.
Just throw them to the portal. The kobolds will know what to do with them.
Somebody just left these perfectly handcrafted doors here. You know what? I'm taking these.
Never mind them.
No. Honestly, though, after we clear this tower, let's take the doors. Right, I mean, part of the game is home decor, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true. There's a big the house flipping aspect to this game. You open up the large double doors, and they go, and you see two teenagers that are making out, and they're like, oh, geez, don't call the cops. And he goes running.
This
and
is the main entrance hallway. You really thought this would happen?
they both go running out, and then the boy he's like fumbling with his pants, and as he's running out, a condom drops.
I knew
you're
it.
Like, and you're like, Magnum, nice.
You know what? I respect that.
Like with Iota's blessing, at least you're using protection. All right,
he's using protection. That's right, kids, teenagers, use protection.
Going to jail now.
This show's all full of lessons.
It is.
Life lessons. Really doing this for the DPS.
All right.
First floor is entirely empty, actually. Not even boxes adorn this first floor.
Damn.
They might have been wrong. They might just be at the top of the tower.
Stairs. Obvious stairs, not unblocked.
Stairs are unblocked.
Does it look musty at least? Like dusty at all? Or?
Oh, definitely. Okay. So, in fact, you do see some like recent footprints that are in the dust.
I'm saying those two teens making out would definitely look out, so we probably should have killed them.
Hey, we didn't even question them.
Yeah, the Scarlet Triad was like, listen, you can make out here as much as you want. Just tell us when somebody comes.
Right, Kez returns around and just casts Lightning Bolt before they get out of range. Yeah. Just to be sure.
They hold each other as they die.
No, see, the guy runs out into the courtyard, runs behind a building, and we just see like a flare gun shoot up. And we're just like, fuck, we should have killed him.
Damn it. Where'd he get a flare gun?
It's a magical school. So, they just magic one.
Star.
Up the stairs. Up the stairs.
Yep. Checking for traps.
Yes.
I'll be detecting magic as we move.
Fair.
Benson will ponder life.
That's a 24 for checking traps, all that stuff.
Okay. You look for traps. You feel pretty confident they have not done anything here.
Okay.
I'll say with that perception check, you do recognize that there appears to be some footprints, and it also looks like things were dragged up here.
Oof.
Bodies.
Okay. You go up to the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
Empty.
Same thing.
Completely devoid of decor, furniture, boxes, storage, nothing.
So it's just some dilapidated ruins.
Yes.
Weird. Okay. Third floor, I guess it is.
Get up to the third floor. Same thing.
The tower's a mimic.
Fuck.
I'm calling it now.
How did you know?
because no one has three empty floors. Just nothing. like this place should have at least used it for some storage.
This is prime real estate in the middle of the city. Come on.
Mm-hmm. It's a mimic. Just wasting.
You know what? We can make hostels each in there. You know, second and third floor. Boom. Beds. Charge people to come in.
It is really weird that they haven't capitalized on the Airbnb aspect of it.
You can stay in the historical magic tower for
historical Tannison Tower.
Listen, this random desk, I found the deed to the tower.
Hey, we have found the deed to a citadel, we have found the deed to a mine, and now we are in a giant tower that nobody's using.
Gene Goblin pops up and goes, listen, the number of permits you would need and the fact that this is already property of the Alabaster Academy means that you'd have to, like, separate it and stuff.
Shut up, Gene. Get out of here.
You're only a paid professor. Right. What do you know?
And he disappears. Fourth floor, nothing. Fifth floor, nothing.
Damn, that is weird. Yeah.
It is only when you get to the fifth floor you can see lights coming down from the sixth floor.
This is
it's strange to me.
This is so strange.
It makes some form of sense.
It makes some sense, but at the same time it makes me more nervous.
Yeah, I was expecting a cluttered first and second floor, a bare third and fourth, you know.
Maybe a guard or something just there, but no. Okay.
Yeah, like, oi, what are you doing in Tennyson Tower? Get back to your dorm.
Get out of there, you teenagers.
Oh, no, they're not the teenagers.
Stop kissing. Oh, you're adults. Get out of there.
Or is Alabaster Academy more, like, progressive and, like, you know, every dorm has, like, the little condom bowl, and it's like, if you're headed to Tennyson Tower, don't forget your condoms.
If you're going to Tennyson Tower, yeah, there's a pamphlet, like, every day that you can just take. If you're going to Tannis' Tower, a wink.
There's a cool social studies teacher sitting backwards on a chair. It's okay, we get it.
You kids. Guys, as long as you're safe.
The RA has a little poster in the hallway. It's called Tannis' Tower Tips.
Oh my god.
Tannis' Tower Tips.
It's just like, don't forget your condom.
Don't forget your condoms. Drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly. Okay, so the light.
So you see a light pouring in from the sixth floor. Oh. I will take you there. Activate.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I'll say this.
We can too.
I've taken you guys to the sixth floor. You're at the top of the stairs of the sixth floor. I'm just telling you that because this room is empty. Okay. Except for the dusty pile of lumber stacked in the corner over Shmia.
It's a mimic.
It's a mimic. Every piece of lumber there is a mimic. But what you do hear is you hear what sounds to be like a few people that they seem to be kind of like not bickering, but they have this sort of like boastfulness, like, oh yeah, well there was one time there was this pretty elf and then knocked her upside the head and she went for a great price.
Oh my gosh. Ugh.
These guys are just like, you know, I usually go for the half.
You know what, Jake? I had my reservations, but I think these guys are bad. I'm just saying.
Listen, man. I like going for the halflings. They fit in bags better.
It's like they even talk about sleeping on, like, off the clock.
Right? I never thought I'd see the day where I saw an evil slaver.
Yeah, it's not like the slavers are like, you know, like, hey, you catch that game the other day? And you're like, I missed it or something like that. No, they're just 100% slavery all day.
I used some cheese and a rope and I cut a halfling this big.
What's the Cantargo soccer team's mascot?
The Silver Pillar or something? I don't know.
The Silver Pillar? It's just a guy in like a... It's like a... Just in a colonnade or something?
Yeah.
No obvious problems with that mascot. No.
Why do you think all the teenagers so horny?
The Silver Pillars are definitely the Cleveland Browns of this...
The Silver Pillar is never going to have two soccer balls at his feet, ever.
Why is everything in this city so damn phallic?
I designed the mascot. I foresee no problems with PR.
The wizards love it.
I don't know why they keep laughing.
Balls.
I was just thinking of like the top of the costume. The top of the costume is like 3 feet tall.
just flops around up there.
Well, it's canon.
Alright.
What's happened? Alright, Jason Ballman, call me. You are in the sixth floor. You hear people talking about slaving on their off time. What's with these people, right?
They have no life.
I have an idea that one of us should take this spider, drink the spider foot brew, so that we're not exact clogging the stairway, so that two of us can approach on the stairs, one on the wall, Elkwood, and then Kezra in the back with his magic hands.
Oh, sorry. You hear the voices coming from the south side of the.
That's
floor.
What I was want to stealth to make sure, because that bottom area is just all shadow right now. So.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I think I'm a little confused.
Here. What?
We're on the floor where the voices are.
Yeah, correct.
Yes. Okay. We're already here. Understood. Yes. Understood. Okay. So there's no like the stairway is going to get in the way.
It's, no, this no. Okay. This floor is separated by I guess a wall or something.
Yeah, the top side is the big empty one, and then there's a bottom half of the it's like bisected.
Okay, so it looks like there's two entrance. Points of attack. Uh-huh. We each take a champion, and then we pincer.
Yeah,
it's always a good strategy. Yeah.
Classic pincer maneuver.
It works.
Classic pincer.
Let's go, Benson.
Alrighty, strike force alpha.
Who's taking the west door, and who's taking the east door?
Benson and I are going west.
Grimshaw's going east.
Yep. Going Elkwood.
And what I would say, I want to be stealthing this whole way, but I want to be the one
lead.
Lead, just so I can get a shot off immediately.
I like that.
All right.
Yeah, why don't you stealth up there and just get a look first before we clamber into the room?
That's not a bad idea.
All right, go ahead and make me a stealth check.
That's a 32.
That's pretty good. Let me check some... perceptions here. It's gonna be that, okay. And I don't think they. Nope. All right. You feel confident walking up. So if you go up to the door, I will reveal the rest of the room to you.
Right there.
Yep. Can you see into the room?
I can see part of it.
You can see part of it. If you take a step in, you can see the whole room, and then
there's
I will
no one
reveal
here.
What you see. No, there are. I just haven't revealed them. This large lecture hall has risers descending toward a small oval floor space against the north wall. There is no furniture in this lecture hall save for the wooden podium, adding to the feeling of abandonment. This is not entirely abandoned, as you see three Scarlet Triad members. You see what appears to be two of the poisoners, the ones that were the bald ladies, and you also see what appears to be a female bruiser.
Great.
Big giant club on her side, and she's up there, and then she's like, no, listen, the best one I ever got, all right, was this guy, and she starts talking about how she got, 500 gold pieces for some politician or something.
Elkwood is going to wave Grimshaw over. He'll kind of give the hand movements of three. Like, two. Like, he... I don't know. He's not first in Navy SEAL, but, he's just like, there's three people.
Yeah.
Makes indication of poison? I don't know. good one. Big club. So we know that he's in there.
Yeah.
There we go.
I think before we just start moving, because us moving would either instigate a stealth roll, because I think, do we just want Elkwood to scout, or do we want him to get a pot shot? Because if we just want him to scout, then we can just start running, and then essentially cut take him off guard. But if we want Elkwood to get a pot shot, it's pot shot, and then we start running. Because I ain't making a stealth roll.
I think it's up to Elk to see. Do you come back and talk to us, or one of them?
No, he will, and he'll come back. He's got two of those poisoners in there, as well as one of those big bruises that similar to that one that kicked the hell out of you before. So, yes, two of them are on the stands, and one's near the podium.
All right, let's do it.
Yes, I would say. I think if we go on each side, disorient and run them down.
All right. So Kezra and Benson are in the west, and Grimshaw and Elkwood are taking the east.
Uh-huh. There's a slight sip as Benson sips his Americano.
Kezra, take a sip and put it in the corner.
Kezra farts his way across the room, crop dusting up to Benson.
You didn't have to drink it, man.
Sort of the slavers are like, you smell something?
It's not my problem. It's yours.
They sniff the air and go, sniff the air and go, that's an Americano.
Oh.
No, it's right. A flat white.
Yeah. At this point, Elkwood is going to be hunting prey on this one. So.
All right, so you hunt prey on the easterly Scarlet Tripoisoner. All right, yep, so tell me what your plan of attack is.
I would say I could shoot first, and then that way everyone's like, oh, what the fuck? Disorienting. They look towards me, and then everyone else can swarm it.
Sure. All right, so go ahead and take your attack.
Alrighty.
I'm going to let your stealth carry over, so...
Okay, let's do this. He has his bow out. Oh,
yeah, so go ahead and take your shot, and then I will have everybody roll for initiative.
Yahoo. Let's go, baby. Ooh, that's not terrible. It's a 34. So I'll
that's
take
a hit,
it.
My friend.
I'll take it.
That is a hit.
Okay, and so stealth, well, that means I think hunt prey, hunter's edge is on there, so let's do some damage. Ooh, that's a good roll, though. 32 points of damage.
Oh, my
gosh. That's an 8, 7, 6, a 6 on the fire, and 1 electricity.
Sweet. Sweet.
All right.
Plus proficiencies. So all of a sudden, she just goes, like, talking, and then, bam, just gets...
Yeah, just right in the side. Just, all right, and I would like everybody to roll initiative.
As I burst in, can I use intimidation?
Yes, I would say you could. You knew what was happening, so it's not like you were perceiving or anything like that. So yeah, I would say that you could use that.
I'm having trouble using my character. My foundry is very, very laggy right now.
Are you able to move your token?
A little bit, but not much.
Hmm, okay.
Also, Jake, you have my number for my stealth roll? Because for the initiative,
it was 32. So,
yeah. It was 32. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you have to manually put that in.
Yeah. Oh. All right. That's that. All right. Going down. I just need Kezra.
19. Another predictably awful roll from me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Benson.
Benson, who is also going to intimidate the very large man at the podium.
Woman.
Uh-huh. It's a woman.
Oh, okay.
It is a Scarlet Tribe Bruiser, but they do not have a female token
so
for
with
the...
with a 16 on the die, that's an intimidation of 36.
Jesus.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
There he goes to the top of the list.
Yep. And Grimshaw.
31.
Man, everyone's good initiatives today.
Mm-hmm.
And Kezra.
Then there's me.
And there's you. Alright. Benson, you may go first. You do get that free intimidation check, so go ahead and intimidate her.
This is another 16.
Oh, so for... okay.
36.
36. That is going to be a regular success, so she is frightened one.
Nice.
Take that. Move, please. Thank you. Okay.
There we go.
First attack. Fuck! 4 on the die. Okay. So 30... No, 30. 23.
It's like, goddamn.
4 on the die for 45.
Cool.
Second attack. 17 on the die. With 20... Or no. 17, so... 31.
That is a hit.
Yay! I might need to restart Foundry because this shit is not playable.
Yeah, it's fine. Just do a little refresh here.
And that will be 18 points of damage.
Ooh. Alrighty.
Solid.
All right. After that, it comes to Elkwood Grimm.
Awesome. So, yes, he does the same thing. He, like, lines up shot, sees her get hit, and then just goes for another one. You know, might as well.
Nice.
All right.
Ooh. That's not good. That's a 24.
That is a miss, my friend.
That's awesome. Whoa. So, and he's going to shoot again.
Plus all right.
16. That's better. That's a 31 to hit.
That will hit, yeah.
15 die. Let's do some damage. Oh, my God. That is... How does that damage work? It's like sometimes I have to look at this because I'm just like, there's no way. But it is. Because it says 34 points of damage.
Oh, whoa.
And I'm whoa. And I'm seeing, because that's 8 on, 8, 8, and 7 on the D8s.
Mm. Oh my god.
A 6 for fire and 1 for electricity again.
Yep.
I use a dice roller for this shit because
I know, right?
I'm like,
gosh.
Plus, I proficiencies and all that crap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so that was second hit, and you know, for the hell of it, just don't shoot again. Why not? That's a miss. Okay. That's a 19.
Okay. Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Okay, it's funny. Thanks to the magic of Foundry, I can't really see a whole lot, so I'm gonna kind of I see one target. They are yes. on the podium, it looks like, so I'm going to step, or, you know, start my move action here.
Okay.
I see the and that's the person that Elkwood has been chunking yes. away at, so I'm just going to yeah. complete my movement next to it.
Okay.
And I am going to smash it with the Morning Star of Milano.
All right.
And I'm going to miss, maybe. Let me check. 28?
28. That is a hit,
oh
actually.
Oh my gosh.
Fuck yeah.
I was so doubtful. I was like, there's no way this is gonna hit.
Might be able to kill her. Who knows?
Oh, that's the wrong guy. I was rolling a d10. Like, yes, d10 for damage!
Like, whoa.
16, cool. 16 points of bludgeoning.
Alright. She is not looking good.
Ooh, really?
Uh-huh.
Do you have a gun?
Yes, I am going to strike again.
She's bloodied. Let me be clear. She's bloodied.
Oh.
That's wow, I rolled the exact same roll, so that is a miss because of okay. the multiple attack penalty.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Okay. Should raise my shield. Oh, well.
All right.
That's my turn.
All right. It comes to the Scarlet Triad Bruiser lady. So she sees Benson approach her, and she's like, oh, you approach me.
Yes, I do.
She is going to use her Pummeling Flurry.
Oh, yeah.
So she's going to use her Great Club first. So first one is going to be this. She is frightened. Doesn't matter with a 40 to hit.
Oh, yep, that'll hit.
All right. There's going to be 23 points of bludgeoning damage.
Ouch.
It's better happening to Benson than Kezra, so...
yeah. And then she is going to try and kick you.
Now, is the Pummeling Flurry the one where he gets knocked prone automatically, or no? Do we...
No, so the, no, that's only with the crit on the Great Club.
Understood. Okay.
Yeah, that's why Kezra is getting freaking knocked out so mm-hmm. freaking much.
Yeah, yeah. Alright, so the... Oh my god. 37 to hit.
Oh. I hit.
This is her kick. 21 points of bludgeoning damage.
Oh my gosh.
If I remember, the kick does as much damage as the Great Club.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like,
what's in those greaves?
What are those? Yeah, so she can only do that once per turn. That's pretty good. So she's just going to try to kick you twice.
Jesus.
Or two more times. Map is not great here. Actually, you know what? She's going to try and intimidate you as well. So let's see what her intimidate is. Come on, pretty boy. That is a 26 total, so...
No, get the fuck out of here.
You realize how pretty you are, and it's ineffective.
Pretty boy, I'm in, like, battle fucking, like, yeah. Plate that's been in many battles.
Yeah. Hey, Benton, for some people, that's really hard, actually.
And then the last kick is a miss. Next it comes to the Scarlet Tribe Poisoner. So this is the one that you guys have wailed on so far. She is bloodied. So she's going to do something where she is going to use an ability where she is going to... So she's going to draw her sword, take a step. As she steps, she poisons her blade and tries to sink it into you, Grimshaw.
Yeah.
I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah,
she spits on the blade.
So there's going to be a 33 to hit.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Oh, man.
Well, all you have to do is succeed against poison.
Yeah. So that is going to be 18 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And then I need you to make... what is this? What kind is it?
It doesn't matter. I got a 38.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. yes. So you succeed.
And just push the poison out.
And that is going to be your turn. Next, the other one is going to draw a crossbow.
Oh.
And she's going to shoot at Kezra.
No, Kezra!
Don't do that.
It's one weakness.
He's innocent. He hasn't done anything yet.
He's just a guy.
Hey, man.
I just got here. I wasn't even supposed to come in today.
I was supposed to meet up with someone on the makeout floors. I think I got stood up.
That is going to be a 29 to hit.
Yep.
All right. So that is going to be...
It's okay, just flex the poison out.
14 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And then it needs you to make a fortitude save.
36.
Whoa.
36. Critical success. Amazing. And that is going to be your turn, since she pulled the crossbow, shot it, and then she'll have to... And she reloads. Okay.
Hey, Kezra, what did your poison taste like? Mine was a little bit like a sour watermelon.
I don't know, my taste buds were thrown off by all the flat white farts.
It is your turn. If you choose to continue farting.
Yeah, Kezra continues to crop dust into the room.
He's pulling a bow ride show.
Finally getting to see the lay of the land, and he's going to do a... he's going to keep it simple. He's going to do an electric arc on the bruiser and the westerly poisoner. So, reflex saves, please.
Reflex saves. Let's go with the bruiser first. She gets a 29.
Just success.
30. Sorry, 30 total. It's a success. Yeah, because she's no longer frightened. Poisoner gets a... What does she get? Oh, that was not a great roll. Her reflex save's not bad, though. 27.
That's a fail. So the poisoner takes 15. The bruiser takes 7.
Okay.
Good.
And that is my turn.
Okay. Oh my god, before I get too far, you guys do have hero points for this chapter.
Yay!
Sorry, I totally forgot.
I still have 3.
It's the one I write it down, and then...
Wait, Jake, does this stack with the hero point that I got the other day on the phone?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Oh. This is why, listen up, everyone. Record your phone conversations with your GM, because he will give you a hero point and then deny that he gave you a hero point.
He's got to get things in writing.
I don't talk to you on the phone at all, Tim, so.
I don't even never really talk to you. Yeah.
If you call me again, I'm not going to answer. Benson, it's your turn.
Alright, I wonder what Benson's going to do. He's going to swing for the fences. Okay. Fuck you. Okay. Second swing.
Ooh. That's a hit, my friend.
All right. Dude, the second swings are what's coming in for Benson. Can't do the first swing to save my goddamn life. Oh, 12 points of damage. Great. Okay. Cool. Final swing. Need like a 19 to hit. Oh, does a 22 hit Jake?
Does not.
God, I hate this game.
Just roll better. Right.
Just roll better.
That's just roll good, better, good point. Good point. Skill issue.
skill issue with those math rocks you have. Elkwood.
Okay. He is going to. He still sees her. That he's
yeah. There's a little bit of cover because of Grimshaw, but
yeah, he'll move right here. That way, okay. He now sees her completely. It doesn't matter anyway because she's my haunted prey.
Oh,
and
right.
Hunter's aim. Hunter's aim ignores that shit.
Well, she doesn't know that. That was her plan.
She's like, I will hide behind this Adonis of a man.
Oh, I know, right?
Oh no, I'm still getting hit. So that would be a. That is a 31 hit.
That will be a hit, my friend.
Alright, let's go damage. Ooh, it's lower this time. 20 points of damage.
Okay. Owie, owie, owie!
And actually, that's it because I used two actions. So I moved and two actions. Gotcha. Yep, that's it.
Grimshaw, it's your turn.
Grimshaw looks, stares the poisoner right in the face and says, BRB, bitch! And does a reversal charge on the bruiser. So I get that flanking bonus.
Oh, okay.
Flank bone.
Yes. Yes, I needed, I needed a roll like this for a night like this.
Yeah. Question, do you move when you do that, or is it just an instantaneous thing?
I move.
Okay.
No! Don't hurt me!
Jake, do me a favor, shut up.
I mean, it's only on a crit you get interrupted, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's a miss anyway. So
yay! So I got, remember, I'm flanking.
Yes, sir.
I got a 19 on the die.
Oh, shit.
For 38,
that is a hit, my friends.
Ah, no, you're supposed to say, that's a crit! And we're all supposed to go, what?
let me check the math. No.
Okay. Just like, plus 9.
If I ever say I'm checking the math, it is automatically a no.
I appreciate you checking in the back to see if the item is there.
Yeah, let me go check in the back to smoke a cigarette.
That is 17 points of piercing damage.
Ooh.
That's when a worker's like, yeah, let me check in the back, and he just looks at his phone for 30 seconds. Yeah, we didn't have it.
Spins around for a moment, and he's like, nope.
Yep. Nope.
And then I just magically appear back as the Chrono Worm sucks me through time and space, and then I strike again. No, that's a miss. Oh well,
that's a miss. All right. it comes to Scarlet Triad Bruiser. I'll tell you, her name tag says Ivena. Ivena.
It's very convenient we all wear name tags.
I do that so the GM doesn't have to keep saying the long name. So she is going to, seeing that you like to be on your feet, Benson, she likes to take you off of that. She's going to sweep you off your feet.
Benson, that's kind of cute.
So she's going to give him a kiss?
Yeah, give you a little kiss.
With a mace.
Yes, yeah, with the great club in hand. Oh, that is not great. That is a 29.
It's a little Family Guy joke. I think it was like Brian was looking at like some old record or movie or TV show, or it was like an episode of an old show, and it was like, I kissed my sweetie with my fist. it was like making fun of like old sitcoms or something.
Yeah.
And how they like joke about beating women.
Yep. One of these days, to the moon.
To the moon. All right, so I imagine a 29 is a fail.
Yes, it is.
Okay, in which case she is going to just use her pummeling flurry on you.
Mm.
So
is that whole flurry at the map then, though?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. No, it's it's fine for you guys. So do. Backswing, however.
Mm.
Oh, shit. Takes a little bit of that away. 33.
That just hits.
Just hits.
Dong!
25 bludgeoning damage.
Ow.
And
kick. Is that 33 hit with your... Is that with your shield up?
Mm-hmm. It meets my AC.
And a miss on the kick. She goes to kick in the nuts and doesn't make purchase.
Zero Scarlet class. Tribe,
yeah, Scarlet Triad Poisoner. She doesn't like Grimshaw harassing her, and she sees what her friend is doing, and her friend says, "Let her deal with the big ones." And so she is going to come over here. Let me make sure I got some distance. 35.
Oh, no.
No, Kesra!
What's her speed?
Don't pick on him.
She's got normal speed. Okay. That's fine, though. Because what she's going to do is she's going to walk here and then use her thing where she poisons the blade and comes right over to Kesra.
Damn it, Kesra!
Yeah, damn it, Kesra. How good
he doesn't wear armor.
I would just stand within 5 feet of me. But that actually would have been a bad move.
But within 15.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still going to get the reduction.
So it's going to be a 31 total.
Yep.
All right. With the short sword, it is going to be...
Not in my house.
14 points of slashing damage.
2 points.
And then I need you to make a... what is it?
Not in my house.
That's that. Oh, there it is. Make me a 4-2 save.
Can't help you with that.
Not the best, but it is my best save.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a 27.
27. That is a success.
Ooh.
You managed to stave that off.
Hey, Kez, you got that you're only taking 2 damage, right?
I only took 2?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Because of the...
My retributive strike.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Cool beans.
And the other Scarlet Tribe Poisoner is going to take a shot at you, Kesra.
Damn.
Oh, these people are dicks.
They're slavers.
They're like, he's not
well,
wearing armor.
You know.
Yeah.
There's slavery and there's focusing the caster.
We're talking evil and then just pure evil.
Yeah, that's
just pure evil.
It's not right.
Really,
man.
Really laid it on.
It's not right, man. It's really fucked up.
32 to hit.
Yep.
With the first crossbow shot. All right. This is going to be. That is going to be 17 points of damage.
Okay.
And make me a fortitude save.
At least a regular success seems.
Oh man, rolls just keep getting lower. That's gonna be a fail. That's a 21.
That is a fail.
Mm.
You have been afflicted with giant scorpion venom.
Oh.
Okay. It's not the worst.
So you grow to be giant.
Stage one is... you take 9 points of poison damage. Mm.
Me.
And you are enfeebled 1 one round.
Yeah, it's alright.
I like how I've taken more than 50 points of damage in this fight, and he's like, you take 9 points of poison damage. Everyone's like, no!
Not dear sweet Kesra.
It's okay, I'm just bleeding from every limb.
You guys are handling yourselves quite well, but you see that these Scarlet Tribe members are focused and they're very tactical in their abilities, and you realize you might have to pull some fancy stuff out, but you can do that next week.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we can. Yeah.